Pastor Mike Gibbs and the worship that he brings to us. He'll also bring us the message. We just thank you, Lord, for what you have to share. May our ears and our eyes be open to whatever you want us to learn. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is in every single one that is here serving you. Bless this day in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. We're glad you're all here. And you're actually the temple of the Holy Ghost, you know. You're the true house of the Lord, right? He dwells right here. You brought Jesus with you. I hope you did. If you don't know him, he's an awesome friend. So I think we're going to start with the first song is called Cornerstone, Matt. And we'll just go from there. And yes, last Sunday night, we go to the Redwood Christian Center in Eureka. And we got to doing some of these old, what we call old Jewish tempo kind of songs. And we had a lot of fun with them. It had been years since I'd done some of them. But you'll recognize a couple of them as we go along. So I think, Matt, we may not pause through a couple of those songs. We'll just boom, right, go right through them.
For a foundation of stone, I lay in Zion. For a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a tried stone. A precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not be ashamed.
Sing that much again.
I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not be
wonderful. Let's do that.
Wonderful. A sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. Wonderful, wonderful.
Was the rock of offense, the chief cornerstone that the religious leaders tripped over when they rejected him, a stone of the builders rejected.
religion rejected the cornerstone. Isn't that amazing? Because he was built, he's the foundation. So, because he wasn't, he declared himself to be, anyway, you get it. I'm so glad we are not religious anymore. We are relational with Christ, as we said. Here's another one. Awake, O Israel. Put off your slumber. Let's do that one. Awake, O Israel, put off thy slumber, for the truth shall set you free. For out of Zion comes your deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. In the furnace of much affliction, I have chosen you, behold. And for your iron, I'll give you silver. For your brass, I'll give you gold. Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Awake, O Israel, put off thy slumber, for the truth shall set you free. For out of Zion comes your deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh, hallelujah. Shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. As ye go out with joy, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the their hands, the trees of the field will clap their hands as we go out with joy. As we go out, as we go out with joy, as we go out, as we go out with joy. You gotta say hey now, shout hey, hey. You did good, that was good. I sprung it on you at the end. You got to do a hey, you know. You like them old songs? Those are fun.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Precious Lord. Thank you.
is nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord.
Let him enter into the deepest places of your hearts. We need you. We need him.
Tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is,
isn't that good?
My shame is undone, Lord, in your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Overwhelm us, Lord, who you are. Nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for gracing us with your presence.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord. Experience the glory of your goodness.
See, whenever you see that word glory anymore, I think of how God's view and opinion of me. Whenever you see the word glory, it's the word doxa in the Greek. And it just means God's estimation, God's opinion, good opinion of you, his evaluation of you. He thinks you're highly favored, you know? And so he wants, when you see that word glory, just recognize to be overcome by the glory of the Lord is to be overwhelmed with how he sees you in his sight, you know? You're precious in his sight. And we need to know that. We need to recognize that. We don't always have the same evaluation of ourselves that God does. God has a much higher evaluation of you than you do of yourself. And it's time for, that's where for you to renew your mind after the Spirit, of the work of the Spirit inside of you. You lack nothing. You know, I get to preach later, so I got to save some of that. But you got it all inside you already. You need nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack no good thing. That's really what that means. Amen. We're just family here. I'm glad. We need to be remind each other of who God says we are. And you need to look in the mirror and remind yourself too. I see Jesus in you, you know. Let's do this song called Gratitude. It's a cool song.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is an hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's beautiful.
I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Sing it again. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Says that because Jesus humbled himself even to the death of a cross, God has exalted his name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name that's greater than Jesus' name. Amen. Sing it with me.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Dark addiction starts to break. There it goes. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like the fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. I speak Jesus for my family. Speak the holy name. Shout Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
you, Cheryl, but I want people to come around her. Yes, for Cheryl. Please, just pray for her. Cheryl Wells. Was there... just the loss of her husband. I know she's grieving and, you know, in that valley. She's not alone. I just want her to know she's not alone, right? Support from the body of Christ to bless you, dear. To walk with you through the process. Oh, Lord, Father God. Touch and heal, touch and heal the deepest parts. You know her heart. Let it be. Bring the oil of joy. Bring healing every soul. That's beautiful. Just lead out in prayer anyone that wants to. Alone, you're not alone. I am here with you, walking through the deepest part. I know your heart is broken. I have come to heal the broken heart. Come to give a brand new start, Jesus. Others too that need the touch from God, just an ache in your soul that you just received from the Lord this morning. He's very much aware of your pain. You know, Cheryl's not the only one. There's others that just need a touch. Bring your healing, Jesus. Trust the Lord, you got to jump off the cliff, you know. You don't have any props. If you want to move in the spirit, you've got no props. You just need to jump off and trust him, you know. And it is a trust thing, you know. And because you don't know what. You got to be in the moment with God in real time. Worship is real time. You can be in the moment with him then, you know. And I always like what Jesus said to Nicodemus. It's, the wind blows where it wants to. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so just learn to, you know, to listen. Yeah. Trust and obey. Anyway, I've got a few things to say. I think the main point I want to get to today is just to make you aware and stir up your consciousness of the what God has already placed inside of you as a believer, that you don't need to acquire more from God as much as you need to awaken to what and discover what he's already placed there. Yes? And that's an adventure of a lifetime. You don't need something new from him. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And those, listen to the way that's worded. Behold, that means look. Look at all the things that have become new in you. Forget about the past. It's not who you are anymore. So it's just acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, according to Philemon verse 6. Acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit wants to make you aware of what's inside. You have all the power of God resident within you. Amen? Amen. You do. Every, you know, what does it say? You know, in Ephesians, and I might even have it on, but I'm just going to say it's, to him who is able to do above, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think or imagine, according to the power that works in you. Amen? Amen. That's important to recognize that. Man, and I have yet to discover all of it. I was telling someone last week at church, I don't want to get to heaven and find out all the power I could have accessed, I could have experienced, you know? You are sitting on a powerhouse inside of you, and God wants you to discover it, every single one of us. Yes? You have purpose, you have calling, you do. And so I think that's a key to make us conscious. And I believe, I was thinking about this too, why don't we hear more people talk about who we are in Christ, what you have in Christ? Because I think many people who talk don't always know themselves who they are or what they have. So you can't really tell anybody else what that you have in Christ, right? You have to experience it. And so I know this. Behavior isn't an issue. Behavior is a symptom of a deeper issue of belief inside of you of what you think about yourself. Do you see? When you allow God to correct your view, your perception of yourself, and bring you into what he sees in you, the behaviors start to change. That's called transformation. You can't fix yourself. You know how that is. That's just an effort of the flesh. You can't perfect what the Spirit has started. You can't complete it by your flesh. But it goes, you know, it goes on to say that, you know, your belief is key to transformation. And it's so easy to want to try to change your behavior instead of your belief. That's repentance, means change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, a transformation begins on the inside, you know, and it's permanent, it's lasting. It's without a lot of effort from the flesh. It's a work of the Spirit on this inside of you, a supernatural work of God. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. So it's important to remember. Behavior is just a symptom. It's like the idiot light on a dashboard. Check engine. The light isn't the problem. You could smash the light and still not take care of the problem on the inside of the under the hood. Yes? See? So this behavior is symptomatic of something deeper under the hood. Look under the hood.
See what's in your heart. Do you believe you are the righteousness of God? Do you believe that He has exchanged all of you've done wrong for everything that He's done right and given you credit for what He did? That's the good news. That's the good news. And I think, you know, the working title is, what's so good about the good news? You know, but it's true. He exchanged our sin. He became your sin. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That you might become the righteousness of God. Amen? I like that. And 1 Corinthians 1:30, it just says, of God are you put into Jesus, and Jesus has been made unto you wisdom from God. You've got all the wisdom of God inside of you already. Because it isn't in you, it's in Christ, and God put you in Jesus. So you've got wisdom on the inside. You have the mind of Christ, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? So, you know, rather than ask for so much, why don't we begin to affirm and acknowledge what's already been placed there? Yes? And see how that goes. Thank you, God, for your wisdom. Thank you that I have the mind of Christ to make confident decisions in you that are going to be right. You know, amen? You know, trust God. And it goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of God are you in Christ, who has been made unto us wisdom from God, righteousness, which is innocence, restored and redeemed innocence. I come across a word, the message that the Holy Spirit wants us all to bring to the world is a message of reconciliation. Say that word, reconciliation. Yes. Now what that means, reconciliation literally means restoration to divine favor with the whole world. I didn't bring these scriptures up. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can look it up. God is not holding the world's transgressions against them, contrary to what many churches believe. God has restored divine favor to the whole world. He's waiting for them, of course, us to believe and receive. But it's been done. It's already done. That's the whole point of this message. It's already finished. It's already done. You already got it. You got all you need for life and godliness. Matthew, bring up that first, you know, there's a few frames there, but I think it's 2 Peter. Yeah, well, let's just do this. We'll go, I don't want to be married to this thing, but religion tells you what to do. This has been my mantra here in a few weeks. Jesus tells you who you are. When you know who you know what to do. It's not a problem now, right? Because you know who you are. And out of that identity comes forth behaviors that are Christ-like. I'm telling you, the biggest lie the enemy has is to tell you that you're not like God, when in fact you already have been made in His likeness and image. You see? It's a deception. And if the enemy can convince you that you're not like God, you'll have a hard time acting like God. You see? You see? It's a mind trip. It's a deception that happened in the garden, and it's happening now, still, today. But I'm going to stop right there for a minute. So, know who you are, and you'll know what to do. Problem solved. You see? All right, let's go to the next Matthew. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Well, I wrote this myself. This coming from last night, just meditating stuff. Any behavior that we have that is not Christ-like is a result of a faulty belief system. Yes? We must think like God to be like God. Our message is to awaken and realign everyone's mind to God's mind. Awaken everyone's heart to their true identity. Yes. Amen. So if you're having trouble with behavior, get back to your belief. Check on your belief system. What am I thinking about myself that isn't in line with what God is thinking about me? Yes. Amen. That's important. All right. Next. Thanks, Matthew. You're doing great. Here's the first lie. You know, go back to the reference of origins and see where it started. In the garden. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evils. Now, what's implied in that message is they're not like God. You see that? You're not really like God. But if you do this, then you will be like God. Baloney. Say baloney. It's true. It's not true. That's the big lie. That's the what starts to, you know, undermine our faith. The fact of the matter is you've been made in God's likeness. Didn't he say, let us make man in our own image? He did. See, so how contrary is that statement to what God said right there? You shall be like God. Baloney, I'm already like God. If Eve knew who she was, she would have just, you know, stuck her finger in his face and said so. But, you know, we need to do that. I am God. To be godly, to realize you're made in his likeness and image is to be a godlike. Okay. With me so far. Yep, it's implied in that question. All right. Now look at 2 Peter 1:3. I thought of this one. I like this one. His divine power has given to us all things. That means everything. All things. Say all things. Amen. That pertain to life and godliness. Now, you see that word godliness is God-likeness. All things have already been given. You see the tense here? Has given. You see? It's past tense, already done. That's important to mention. It's not something that will be done or should be done, but has already been done. He has given to us all things. All right? That's an important point right there. That pertain to life. That means whenever you see the words life, you know it's the word, the Greek word zoe. Say zoe. It means the quality of life, the best life that life has to offer, the best that life has to give. That's God's life, his abundant life that Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundant. Amen? That means blessing in your finances, in your relationships, in your health, the whole package. Salvation is sozo, which means health and, you know, prosperity and wholeness and completeness. Amen. That's important. Not just getting your ticket punched to heaven. It's quality of life here and now while we're here. Amen. That's important. We've had too much sweet by and by and not enough here and now. Glory to God. I'm not done with that one yet, Matthew. Let's get back to it. Life is zoe. And like I said, all things that pertain to God-likeness. Everything you need to be like him is already placed within you too. That's an important point. Why? Because the seed of God remains in you and you cannot continue to sin because sin is incompatible with your new nature. That's true. Sin is no longer compatible. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God. It's important that we get this stuff out of our mouth. We shouldn't be confessing stuff that ain't true anymore. It adds, you know, when you affirm negative things, you're empowering that problem. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, right? I understand what people mean by that, but you're not anymore. That's who you were. It's no longer your nature to be sinner. You know, it's all right. And God-likeness. You have a new nature. You have Christ within you. And the Bible says, you know, God's seed remains in you. That means it's his DNA. All the characteristics of God, all the nature of God has already been put inside of you. And now it's just a matter of letting it, you know. I like the word. It's Philippians 2:13, 2:12 and 13, it says, work out therefore your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will, that means to desire, and to do his good pleasure, that means the ability, right? So he gives you the desire to do his will, and it becomes a good pleasure to you to do his will. I love doing God's will. I love and I enjoy it. It's not a dread to me. They used to think, you know, think of the thing you want to do least, and that's probably God's will for you. That's baloney too. Say baloney. Because often, you know, he'll give you the desires of your heart. It isn't just a have-to, force-to thing. It's a pleasure to serve God. It should be a joy. Yes. Yes. So, all right. I'm just rambling on here. But I love it. It is a pleasure. It is God who works in you both to will, to desire his will, and to give you the ability to do his will. You see? He provides all of it. So what you're working out is what he has first worked in. Right? Okay. That's clear. God-likeness. Thanks, Matthew. On to the next. Let's take a look. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that had been hidden from ages past. Is it just a little bit of Jesus? You got all of Jesus inside of you. Now, this is not the Jesus of Nazareth that walked the shores of Galilee and got sand in his sandals anymore. The Christ that's in you now is the Lion of the tribe of Judah that raised from the dead, that took the keys of hell and death and sat at the right hand of the Father. That's the Jesus that you have inside of you now. Yes? That's the right. That's why we can say you got a lion in your lungs. Let him roar, right? We sing about that. It's true. Oh, Father, help us. Guard your heart above all things with all diligence. This is Proverbs 4:23. For out of it flow the issues of life. It's so important that you guard your heart from beliefs and lies and deceptions and even false doctrine. And you know what I'm saying? You got to be careful. Guard yourself against that, because it will determine how influential you are in society, in your community. The more you guard your internal world, the more God will use you in the external world to see Christ. I mean, it depends on, you know, being diligent to guard, to protect. This is sort of a side here, but guard is like a doorkeeper that's at the door listening to the knock on the door to determine if it should be let in or not. That's every thought. There are thoughts that you should not let in. You should listen at the door and don't just open up to everything that knocks. All right? Be a good doorkeeper. Be diligent to listen to what's trying to get in from the other side. Amen. That's important. And then the Bible says, for out of it flows the issues of life. That word is borders or boundaries. So as you're diligent to guard and keep your heart, Ian, guard your heart. The extent, your territory will begin to enlarge. Yes, your sphere of influence will grow and increase. Amen. That's important. That's an important point. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect means complete or whole or entire. Lacking nothing, that's what we are. That's who we are. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. That was Paul's passion, you know, just to convince everybody that they're already complete in Jesus. They already have all they need, because he knew that once I convince a believer that they've got all they got, they've got all they need, they can begin to just flourish. That word flourish, was it David that mentioned that? What's that mean, brother?
Spread your wings.
Yes.
To break forth, to blossom, to fly like an eagle with your wings.
Yeah. To flourish. Isn't that good? Come on. I like that. Whew. Christ in you. That's where it all starts. The hope, that means the confident expectation that I will see the view and opinion of God and experience that in me. That's what literally what that means. Christ in you, the confident expectation of God's view and opinion. Yes? So, it's, you know what? I'm not worried about it. I know God is at work in you. He's going to do all of this. I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but it's this. If you don't know what he's up to convincing you that you have everything you need inside of you already. And he's going to show you what he can do through you that you never dreamed possible. Beyond all that you could ask or imagine or think according to the power that dwells inside of you. Watch out. It's coming. It's here. You know, it's already here, but he's just getting you ready, making you aware, stirring your consciousness. We've been sin conscious for so long. Quit looking at your stuff. Get your eyes on Jesus. You know, the Bible says in one version, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. The only fix you should have is your eyes on Jesus. You can't fix yourself. The problem with looking at problems and your sin is that it just compounds the problem. It increases it. It's like you magnify the problem. You're supposed to be magnifying the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the completer. He's the originator. He's the completer of your faith. And run the race with endurance, you know. That's it. Let us run the race with endurance, having our eyes fixed on Jesus. There's an old farm illustration I like to use that a man with a tractor plowing a field, huge field. He'll stick a milk jug at the far end of the field on a fence post, and he won't be looking at the furrow. He's looking down at the milk jug at the end, and when he gives his attention to something in the distance, his furrows are straight. You see? And the same with us. Your lives will become straight as you keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look to the right or the left. Don't let your problems demand your attention. That's another thing, a trick. This is a trick that those problems in your life want to consume all of your attention and your energy. You can't fix them, so focus your attention on Jesus, and those problems will be resolved. Amen? I believe that's true. Do you believe that's true? Because what you give attention to just gets bigger. So give your attention to God and Jesus, and let him get bigger than the problem. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Father. This is stuff that's working in my life, you know, and I've had to be aware of and make adjustments, you know. That's okay. Let's see. Let's move on. Is there another one? But of him. I already quoted this one, but that's okay. You can see it too. I love this. But of God, you are in Christ Jesus. You see, God took you and put you in Jesus and credits you with everything that Jesus has. He gives you everything that Jesus has. You are accepted in the beloved. That means highly favored in the Father's eyes. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, which is like purification, right? And redemption. Amen. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So that's the good news. Jesus has become all those things for us. So quit worrying, quit striving, quit fretting over it. Jesus said, you come unto me, take my yoke, take my teaching about my Father and who I see he is. I'll let you know who my Father really is, not who religion said he was. And when you understand my Father as I see him, you're going to find rest for your souls in a deep, deep place. No more striving like religion. It's over. Dead works. Those you have to repent of. Dead works are just works that are void of the Holy Ghost that God never asked you to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. And that's the same recipe for all of us. Boy, let me get onto that one for a minute. He didn't do anything of himself. The Son does nothing of himself. He laid all that aside. But I only do that which I see my Father do. Now he says, I am going to heaven, and I'm going to send my Spirit to you, and he's going to tell you what to do now. And you just do what he says do. Amen? That's the Holy Ghost. The power. All the resident power of God is within us to perform the miracles, to perform the supernatural. I'm hungry to see God move in ways that'll blow our minds. Because I think we've had this, forgive me the words, mamby-pamby, watered-down version of what God has really intended for all of us to experience in him. And like I said, I don't want to die and get to heaven and find out all that I could have had. You know? Now, Father, show us now the power of God. Amen. Do it, Jesus. Because when Christ authorized and commissioned, we call it the commission, you know, the Great Commission. Behold, all power has been given unto me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He acquired more authority than he had before. Because he went down into the hell, took the keys of hell and death. And now he says, I authorize you to go and make disciples of all nations. He was giving you and I that authority. Amen. Think about that. The all authority that was given in heaven. He conquered the devil. He conquered sin. He conquered death for us. It's all been it. It is finished. Amen. Greek is telestai. It is finished. That's a good word. So let him who glories glory in the Lord. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness on the earth. That's what we boast in, knowing him. Paul said, that I may know him, know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Yes. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Yes. May being made conformable to his death, that I may somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's right. That's right there, Philippians. So good. To that I may know him. That's what we boast in, that we know him. Shelly and I were talking just before I came up about, and she needs to share this with you. Would you do this? Would you tell them what you told me about that, just the simplicity of talking to him and yeah. Let her. I'm going to have her share this. I thought she needs to. It's a testimony. It's beautiful.
So Mike and I were visiting and talking about how great God was, and I had been baptized and I thought I was good to go. And about 10 years later, you know, I would talk to God on my way to work and back and just all day long. And you know, I would just be like, work was so great. And I would just tell him anything. I would repent. I would just anything and everything. And one day on my way to work, it hit me like just like a brick against my head. Like, wow, I have a relationship with God. Like, he is my best friend. I'm safe. It's not like talking to a girlfriend. You know it's not going anywhere. You can tell him everything. And I my eyes welled up. I started bawling, just sobbing. I had to pull over. I was late to work. And it was just my heart, just like I could feel my heart, like my chest literally get warm. And here I am on the side of the road just sobbing. And it was at that moment, I didn't feel that when I got baptized, you know, it was literally that moment that I realized the power of God in my life. And it was, I just wanted to tell the world, like, how good he is, how great he is. I wanted everyone to feel that feeling. And that's what changed my life. And every time, like if Mike sings or anyone sings, my heart gets that, my chest gets almost tight. I get a lump in my throat and my chest feels warm, literally hot. And it's that feeling. And I want everyone to feel that. And that's just what I was sharing with Mike. And when he talks, I know, I feel that, and I know he knows that feeling. And anyways, that,
hallelujah.
It was huge. It was huge.
Yes, was huge. Yeah, I'm thinking we might have to finish with a song called "How Great Is Our God," but that's wonderful, isn't it? Relationship. It just dawned on her, I have a relationship with God. You know, I'm just talking to him so simply, and I understand that too. Yeah. You know, religion can mess that up. You start to feel like you have to walk on eggshells to please God. And he wants to remove the fear and the intimidation. He's very approachable. Jesus showed us that. Even sinners were comfortable in his presence. It offended the religious. His love offended the religious. And I don't want to learn. I want to learn to love like he loved. Amen. That's so important. Because I think that will make the difference. Wow. I think I'll stop right there. It's so good. Yeah. And you can bring up that song, Matthew, if you can find it, "How Great Is Our God." Lord, I thank you for making us aware, uncover, reveal, show us who we are in Christ, what we have been given, what's been placed inside of us, that we'll become more aware, grow in consciousness of an awareness of what you have placed within us. It's going to be exciting, and I thank you that this church is poised and prepared for such a time as this. Yes. Yep. That we're moving into a season of miraculous, of the unpredictable, maybe even the uncomfortable. It's okay, Holy Spirit. Just because we've never been there before doesn't mean that you don't want us to go there. New and exciting. Help us to see it as an adventure and remove the fear and give us the courage. One of the things that I thought was, not only does God remove the bad things, but he replaces it with good things. See, where there was lack, he places fullness. Where there was fear, he replaces it with confidence and boldness. Amen. You know, where there was guilt and shame and condemnation, he puts acceptance and affirmation. And listen to the voice of affirmation. Reject the voice of accusation in Jesus' name. Amen. And I guarantee your emotions, your soul will begin to heal and repair. It's true. Depending on you know, what you think about. So God wants us that. Amen. I think that's important. Matthew, you got that song ready? Cool. All right. Well, you received that, say amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. And trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God and oversee our grave. How great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and oversee how great. How great is our God. Sing it again. How great is our God. And time is in his hand. Our heart will sing. How great is our God. Our God, and always see how great is our God.